And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome, folks, to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios in northwest Pennsylvania. Seven or six days before the election? 6 days? 5 days? 7 days? 6 days. Seems like all the days blur together when we're talking about politics, right? Want to introduce ourselves to you. Of course, we broadcast live each and every weeknight, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Thank you so much, Global Star. Also simulcast on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, BTR. And, of course, YouTube Live. And we've got two different websites, HagmanReport.com for the news information and the meat of the things that we do. And, of course, Hagman and Hagman.com. There is the interface for the show, all of the show options and such, and we dig into topics that the corporate mass media won't. This has been an incredible day, an incredible really the last 72 hours, even the last 96. Folks, we've got so much to get into. We've got a very special show for you lined up today. Of course, the third hour is going to be our regular time. We're going to spend that with Pastor David Langford, the voice of evangelism.com. God bless that man. He's our official pastor. Pastor Langford is the official pastor of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Just want to mention a few things. I was on with Alex Jones today for a little over an hour and on InfoWars, and we were talking about a number of different things. I don't know how many people out there saw the report by Dr. Steve Pachinik. Of course, he's been a source, whether it's Steve Quayle or whether it's Alex Jones. In the alternative media, he's got a pretty good pedigree, and he's got some information. Well, we've got Alex Jones and I have got different sources. Now, my source, who I talked to early this morning, it gave me very, very close information that was very close to what Dr. Pachinik is talking about. And I spoke to Alex Jones about this, and just kind of getting the alt-right. And that's a pejorative statement. In fact, I'm not even going to call the new media the alt-right. The media, given this media, our media, talking about that, it's interesting as we speak to other people in this new media. We are digging and finding out more information than the mainstream media is offering to you folks. And again, that's no surprise, obviously. But I want to tell you something. All right. We are in the most dangerous period of time in American history, in modern American history. And I'm going to tell you right now that there is a revolt taking place. It's within the FBI. It's within many of the intelligence agencies. And there are people on the good side. There are very good people who are in the rank and file of our FBI and our various intelligence agencies. And certainly very good people in NYPD. Very good people on other task forces. There's a pushback taking place against Comey and certainly against Lynch. Folks, the only thing I can tell you is this. There's a lot of information that we're awaiting verification on, secondary verification, but a lot of this information is, it appears that the information that was on Anthony Weiner's desktop, other devices that was shared with or by Huma Abedin spans a lot of different things, involves a lot of different things, from top secret special access program documents, classified documents. That alone, flies directly in the face of what Hillary Clinton said in terms of her statements to the FBI. Huma Abedin, that flies in the face of her deposition as well as her April 5th interview. She, of course, claimed to have four email accounts. Well, one of the four, it was shared with Anthony Weiner, and one of the devices contained shared files that not only contain classified now this is information we're getting. And you know what? You can say, well, you're just full of beans. Yeah, that's fine. Think what you want to think. But a lot of this is coming together as we compare our information with people like Alex Jones, who's getting it from Steve Pachinik and other sources. The information is coming together where Comey was pushed by a patriotic group within the various intelligence agencies, including but not limited to the FBI, because of what was found on October 3rd. And one of the things, as I mentioned yesterday, and I mentioned in a video I did earlier that's posted on our official YouTube channel, is the fact that they're looking at a router to determine Eric the Tech, which he's got a Twitter, @RealTechEric. He's got a Twitter account, but I was talking to him, and my question was, why would the feds take a router? Because that's what they did. And the answer to that is simple, apparently. That's to see who else was accessing the network. There is talk among the cabal of patriots, of the group patriots within the group, that perhaps, just perhaps, some of the information, especially the top secret special access programs, may in fact have been shared with foreign interests. Yet the Trump campaign is being blamed for cozying up to the Russians. You know, it's very interesting indeed. So I just want to bring that front and center, and I want to reaffirm something I said earlier in the 5-minute video I did after the Jones appearance. The devices that were the FBI head and the legal counsel ordered destroyed. It's my understanding that the devices were not destroyed because the agents who had possession of those devices believed it not to be a lawful legal order given the circumstances and situation. So having said that, this is a push against Comey, and certainly a very, very severe push against Lynch. The Department of Justice has been politicized. All of this is extremely important information that you need to know. It's in the coming days. I don't know whether the revelations will be deeper. I do suspect that they will get deeper. And by the way, I've been questioned about this too. I don't know if the different folders had specific names like life insurance. Maybe you've heard about this life insurance, XXX pictures or whatever. I don't know that. I have not heard that. My source had not said anything like that. But out of the 656,000 change files on emails and files on the Weiner device, there goes Eric giggling again. Yeah. It runs the gambit of different potential criminal aspects. All right. So we're going to be following this closely. Also, as well, I want to give a special hello to CanadaFreePress.com. Judy McLeod at CanadaFreePress.com. We've been very, very close for a number of years. I met her in Toronto when we were up there conducting an investigation together. And boy, you talk about a tenacious investigative reporter, editor, a woman who has got like the, she wakes up at, I've got emails from her like 3 a.m. and, 11 p.m. the next, same day. She was talking to me about a couple of things. We're going to be setting something up, we think, together. Joining forces, CanadaFreePress.com and the Hagman and Hagman Report, to bring you some special election coverage but not your typical, hey, look at this, you know, not like a scorecard kind of thing, but getting into the meat of the election process. So we do hope we're going to be working that out with Real Tech, at Real Tech Eric. We're going to be working that out with Eric the Tech, and of course, seeing what our schedules do allow. But I want to give a special hello and a warm hello to Judy McLeod. And by the way, I did submit, I did find earlier this morning, I was going through doing some research, and folks, I found from 2010, this is, Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State for less than a year, and she did an internal public service announcement, a lecture to State Department employees about cybersecurity on video. Let that sink in for a second, okay? That's right. She was lecturing the staffers and the individual, everyone working at State. I found this video. I think Fox News, I think it was from Fox News posted it. I don't know. It was very, very obscure. But here she is in 2010 lecturing everyone on cybersecurity and protecting classified documents. Now, is that ironic or what? To me, that should go viral. And if, when you think about this, and I'm going to just say this, and I'm going to kick it over to Joe here. But when you think about this, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a question. The question is this: do you still believe that Hillary Clinton did not have, that all of this was just one big misunderstanding, a lapse in judgment with respect to the emails? I don't think so. Watch that video. Go to CanadaFreePress.com. And take a look at the video, or the link to the video. Just read my, it's on HagmanReport.com, but please, you know what? Comment about it at CanadaFreePress.com. But to me, intent, knowledge, absolutely. And it boggles the mind. And it boggles the mind if there's any Christian out there who would willfully vote for the criminal cabal, the culture of deception, knowingly. Then, you know what? I don't even know what to say to you. I really don't. It's more than political. It's even more than legal. It's spiritual. So, that concludes my opening statement. Joe.
Our guest for the next 2 hours is Mike Gendron. Folks, go to his website, proclaimingthegospel.org. He is a 1992 graduate of the Dallas Theological Seminary and a frequent speaker at conferences and seminars all across the United States and the world, and on hundreds of different occasions. He's been a guest on many radio and TV programs. He's also been writing a monthly article for the Annenberg Theological Journal since 1998. His book, Preparing Catholics for Eternity, is not only a comprehensive teaching on Roman Catholicism, but also an excellent discipleship tool for Catholics. The book equips and encourages Christians to proclaim the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mike is a director and founder of Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry, a 20-year-old evangelist outreach to those who are lost in religion. Mr. Gendron, it's great to have you on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Well, thank you, Doug and Joe. It is indeed a privilege and a blessing to be on your show, especially when our country and our church is facing such a crisis. Listening to Doug's opening remarks, the culture of deception that is prevailing throughout America, it's also prevailing throughout the professing church. And so it's good that we're going to address deception in the next couple of hours and see what we as Christians can do to expose it and contend earnestly for the faith.
We're ready for this. It's going to be an interesting program, I think. You know, people have asked me of late, why aren't you covering, like, I've been approached and you've got a show, why aren't you spending 24/7 on just the political, the news headlines. And we've got enough people doing that. But one thing that I really believe in my heart is that we are seeing events take place that overlap Bible prophecy, or Bible prophecy encompasses the current events. All right, so that's number one. Number two, the level of deception transcends the physical. It's getting into the spiritual. There's a spiritual blindness that we have, and there's a spiritual bankruptcy all across the nation, and in fact all throughout the West. And I'll say something controversial. I believe that the spiritual bankruptcy of the average Christian is greater than that of the average Muslim. Now, their heads might explode with that statement. But you've got these jihadists who believe in the promised afterlife, which is nothing but a lie from the pit of hell, yet they're willing and dedicated enough to strap on a suicide vest and throw a vest on their 5-year-old child and send them out to kill the infidel as an act of faith as part of this. Okay, so you talk about deception. Oh, wow, that's deception. But it also reflects a commitment that apparently we as Christians collectively don't have. Did I say that right? Did I offend everyone equally? Or, I mean, do you know what I mean? Mike, did you hang up on me or what? Okay.
No, definitely. Of course, I think we have to distinguish between the many false converts that are in the professing church today versus the born-again Christians. And I believe the false converts in the church are the ones that you described that have no commitment to the truth. They've never been born again. They may have head knowledge about what the gospel is, but they have no discernment because they don't have the Spirit of God. And the Bible says the natural man cannot discern the things of God because they're spiritually appraised. So I think, unfortunately, Christianity gets a bad mark because our churches are filled with false converts. And unfortunately, very few are contending for the faith because, again, they haven't been born again. But I really believe that our church, the professing church, is going to face a serious crisis in the near term, especially if the wrong candidate gets the presidency. I think there'll be persecution in the Church of America, and that may be a purifying effect on the church because I believe all the pretenders will fall away and the true Christians will be noticed by their desire to stand firm on the truth of God's word.
Well said. You're right. All right. Thank you. And that's a very succinct way of saying what I probably would have taken maybe 20 minutes to say. So thank you for that. All right. Mike Gendron, thank you so much for your gift of time tonight. You're going to be spending the next 2 hours with us. We so appreciate this. Joe, we had talked about the show content. I'm going to toss it back to you, and you guys can map it out as we go here, or map it out.
Again, folks, Mike's website is proclaimingthegospel.org. Go there. He's got a newsletter that he was gracious enough to send us that I've been reading. And there's a lot of great content in here. Mike, I don't know where you want to start from here, but before the show we talked about what the Pope was doing in Sweden, the 499th anniversary of the Reformation. And these two things tie together, and you put this together in your article under the title Pope Marks the Reformation with a Call for Unity. And that's something that we talked about before the broadcast, the false unity that is being merged between the Catholic Church and, was it the Lutheran Church, he said?
That's right. Yeah, he took a trip over to Sweden to get together with the Lutherans, and it was the 499th anniversary of the Reformation. And what's really troubling is the Lutherans are clueless, because if they would have only learned from Martin Luther right after he nailed his 95 theses to the Wittenberg door, the Catholic Church tried to reverse the Reformation. And what they did was they told Martin Luther that we've always taught what we now teach concerning faith and good works, and the Catholic Church was unjustly accused of the contrary. And so Martin Luther warned, he said, the Pope is the wolf that puts on sheep's skin until he gains admission into the fold. And so now we have Pope Francis, who's a different wolf, but he wears the same sheepskin, and he's attempting to reunite the Lutherans with Holy Mother the Church. And you know, I'd like to say at the outside, Doug and Joe, as a former Catholic for over 30 years, I was very devout, and it is my heart's desire that any Roman Catholic that may be listening to this broadcast would definitely consider what I say with the supreme authority of God's Word, because the last thing I want any Roman Catholic to believe is what I say. I'd rather them believe what the Word of God teaches. And I was deceived for over half of my life because I trusted the Roman Catholic religion as my source for truth and faith. And I think you all will both agree that the very nature of deception is that people don't even know they're deceived unless they are confronted with the truth. And so when I was in my mid-30s...
Mike, yeah. If I can just interrupt you just for 1 second, and I just want to reaffirm this with our listeners who know me, who know my history. I just want to tell you by way of introduction. All right, I'm the father, of course, of Joe. I'm an older guy, although I'm still good looking. Anyway, I'm kidding there. I went to a seminary. I attended a seminary, graduated from a seminary in years ago. All right, a minor seminary. It was a Jesuit seminary. And I was a Roman Catholic. I was an altar boy. I would serve 7 o'clock mass in the morning, you know, dressed up as an altar boy. I got smacked around, you know, the ring by the bishop or the Monsignor, and occasionally by the bishop, you know, carried the sacraments, did the weddings, the funerals, you know. So, I mean, and my parents were extremely devout Roman Catholics as well. So I grew up in this environment, attended the seminary, a Jesuit seminary, and of course on the internet you'll see people, you know, that'll look at me and say, well, that explains it. You know, you're a Jesuit assassin, basically. But I just wanted to let you know by way of full disclosure, and I had left my faith, the Catholicism. And I know this is not about me, but it just to let you know that, you know, I had left my faith or my, Roman Catholicism, because of understanding that this isn't how it should be. And during my time in the seminary, I got to tell you, I could count probably on one hand, maybe that's an exaggeration, how many times we actually picked up the Bible. We studied church history, but never Scripture. Mike, I just wanted to tell you that, make sure, just to reaffirm that with the listeners. And just so they know that you and me, I guess we have similar backgrounds, but just to let people know that's who I am.
Well, what you just said affirms what I found out about my uncle, who was a Roman Catholic priest. He spent over 30 years in the jungles of Burma. And one time I asked him after I was born again, I said, so, Father Charles, how many years did you spend in seminary studying the Bible? And he was in seminary for 8 years. He boastfully said, we spent 6 months studying the Bible. So 7.5 years studying the religion and 6 months studying God's Word. And so that's why Roman Catholic priests and bishops and even the Pope are ignorant of God's Word, is because they spend more time learning their religion than learning the Word of God. But it's really troubling to see so many evangelicals deceived by this Pope. He's over there in Sweden trying to build bridges into the Lutheran religion. And it's really amazing, because what happens here is the Protestant reformers who left the Roman Catholic religion because they were pursuing the truth of God's Word. Now today we've got Protestants that were set apart by the truth of God's Word, but now they're willing to compromise in order to go back to the Roman Catholic Church in order to have unity. And the troubling part about all of this is Roman Catholicism has not changed. you know, if the Pope really wanted to have unity with the Lutherans, why doesn't he repeal or revoke the infallible anathemas the Council of Trent used to condemn Protestants? Why don't they reverse the excommunication of Martin Luther? You see, it's all smoke and mirrors. The Pope doesn't really want unity outside of, you know, compromising his infallible dogmas. He wants a superficial unity so that all people will one day come under the power and influence of the Pope. And that's the agenda of the Jesuits. You know, when the Counter-Reformation started, they were the secret service of the Pope, and their goal was to destroy any opposition to Roman Catholicism. And they did it oftentimes by putting people to death. Today, they cannot do that anymore, so the way to bring unity is through seduction, through deception. And so this Pope is a master deceiver. He's pushing for unity when he's not willing to give up all the Roman Catholic infallible dogmas that the Church stands on.
And, Mike, we're coming up against our break right now. We come back after this break in 3 minutes at 7:30. 6:30 Central Time, just so you, just as an FYI. Folks, we're talking with Mike Gendron of ProclaimingTheGospel.org. Again, that's ProclaimingTheGospel.org. This is a friend of Brandon House who will be a guest on our show tomorrow evening, and you heard him a few months ago on this show, back in early September, I believe it was. We'll be right back after these short messages. We got, with Mike until 9 o'clock, and then Pastor David Langford will be our guest after that. Stay with us, folks.
Welcome back, folks, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Folks, if you have a chance, you know, I'm kind of pimping out my appearance on InfoWars. That's really kind of a crass thing to say. I'm promoting my appearance on InfoWars today. Spoke with Alex Jones for quite a while. If you get a chance, go ahead and take a listen to that. You had Dr. Steve Pachinik on. We're going to probably get Dr. Pachinik on as well to talk about some things, but the news, the headlines, the my goodness, everything is happening all at once. I want to thank John Robertson. John Robertson is a class act. Thank you so much for all you have done, making this interview and others possible. You've really done a lot. God bless you, my friend. And folks, understand John Robertson, the Hollywood insider that we talked to, and his, you know, he's done very much. And Mike Gendron, he set this interview up for us, and I just want to say thank you and God bless. And, you know, A-list guests like Mr. Gendron, it's nice to have somebody like John on our side. And also thank JD for all of his creative work that he's doing as well, and Eric the Tech. Follow him at Real Tech Eric, and of course many others. But before I get back to the guests, before I kick it over to Joe, folks, Greenovative, it's a small company in Florida. It's you're going to be hearing about this company, I guarantee you. Alan Riggs, the guy behind this, you're going to be hearing about this, okay? More and more and more. Greenovative, they created something called the GMAG Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water. You can charge 6 AA, AAA batteries about 3 hours using a couple of power pucks. This whole system, we have one. We tried it. We put it through its paces. It's a fantastic device. You don't need sun. You don't need wind or a hand crank. All you need is a little ordinary table salt. 2 teaspoons is all. A little water. You shake it up for a few seconds. You put the batteries in. In 3 hours, you've got recharged batteries. Batteries that are recharged. The Super GMAG, it's affordable. It's lightweight. It weighs about 8 ounces. It's durable. EMP proof. Environmentally friendly. You can stick it in your bug out bag. Put it in your pantry, we'll say, by your flashlight or whatever it might be. But you really need one of these. This is one of the neatest devices I've seen. The Super GMAG charger has an indefinite shelf life. It's going to charge unlimited batteries, numbers of batteries, just simply by replacing the power packs. Folks, special deal right now. Take advantage of this, especially Christmas next month. If you do engage in, you know, giving other people gifts, this would be a great gift for your dad, for your uncle, for your friend, for your coworker's family. But here's the special: get 10% off your entire order using the promo code Hagman. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's right, greeninnovative. Green, like the color, IVATIVE, greeninnovative.com. Hagman and Hagman listeners, special price, 10% off the entire order. Now, if you happen to see Alan Riggs at a show, a prepper, you know, show, conference, whatever, grab him and say, Hagman, I want my 10%. And he'll give it to you. He will. He's a good guy. Again, discount code Hagman, greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com.
Our guest tonight is Mike Gendron, and before the break we were talking about the excommunication between the Pope and Martin Luther and the false unity that the Pope is trying to bring and deceiving people while doing so. Mike, I'm going to turn it back over to you, and I see on the on your newsletter on the right-hand side you have a list. Maybe at some point we can get to this. Evangelicals continue to dismiss the critical differences between Roman Catholicism and biblical Christianity. And you go on to cite seven reasons from the gospel why the Reformation can never be reversed and why Catholics and evangelicals cannot be united in a common faith. I'm just going to throw that out there and let you pick
up.
Yeah,
Joe. In fact, let me also do the same thing for your listeners. If anybody would call us and let us know that they heard the show, we will give them 10% off on any of our resources, including my book, which is entitled Preparing for Eternity. But we also have 16 different DVDs that all, they contain two different messages. Each message has all the PowerPoint slides, so those are available, including the one that you just mentioned, entitled Why Are Evangelicals Reversing the Reformation? And I gave that message in front of 4,500 people in Minneapolis, and it was really an eye-opener for a lot of people because they don't understand what's going on in the church today, why so many evangelicals are compromising the gospel, denying its exclusivity to come in favor with the Roman Catholic Church. We also have six different gospel tracts, and we really believe that sowing the seed of God's word wherever we go is part of the Great Commission, because when people hear and see the Word of God, they can be challenged in their faith and repent and believe the glorious gospel of grace. So lots of evangelical resources for your listeners. All they have to do is mention they heard it on the Hagman Show. We'll give them 10% off their complete order. So back to your
thank
question.
Thank you. And I'll just say this to our listeners. I'll say this to our listeners, preparing for eternity, folks. They're all, everything that Mike Gendron has is extremely valuable in to reaffirm your faith. But preparing for eternity, folks, is an exceptional work, and I just want to reaffirm that. And with a 10% off, wow! God bless you. I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
Well, sure. So we're really in a time where Bible prophecy has much to say. In fact, I believe the Bible has more to say about the day and times in which we live than any other epoch of time in human history. We're really seeing a lot of prophetic events come together, including the Great Deception. You know, when the Lord Jesus was asked by his disciples in Matthew 24, what will be the sign of your return? Jesus mentioned a lot of signs that people are aware of, but one sign he mentioned three times. There will be false teachers, false Christs, false prophets to deceive even the elect if possible. And so we know we're in a time of great deception. More than ever, the body of Christ needs to have discernment. We need to stand firmly on the truth of God's word, contend earnestly for the faith of the apostles. That's the only hope we have for protecting the sanctity of our Lord's church. And so the Bible also tells us there will be a great falling away, a great apostasy. And we're seeing that as well. Not only is the Roman Catholic Church an apostate church, but we also see many of the mainline Protestant denominations have also drifted into apostasy. And so it's my heart's desire that as an evangelist, that I would challenge people in their faith. The Apostle Paul told us that we should examine ourselves to make sure we are in the faith, to make sure our faith is genuine, because there is much deception. There's many compromised gospels being proclaimed today. Some of the gospels omit the offense of the gospel, and so they are compromised in that way. Other gospels add additional requirements for salvation, so that's a perversion of the gospel as well. And of course, the Apostle Paul condemned any perversion of the gospel with an anathema in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. So our listeners need to be aware that we are in spiritual deception, and it's really carrying over into the political realm. I believe there's a strong delusion that's come over our country. As Doug, you stated in your opening remarks, it's unexplainable how many people can even vote for a person who has voted to allow babies that are being born to be destroyed and pulled apart and murdered. You know, that's just unconscionable. It's no different from the Bible times when people sacrificed their babies. It was barbarian then, it's barbarian now. And so there's a strong deception, a strong delusion that's not only invaded our churches, but also covering our country. And I'm just thankful for programs like yours that stand on the truth and challenge people to really test their conscience to make sure that they're following biblical truth and not following the many lies of the devil that are not only in our church, but also across our country. So thank you for the opportunity tonight.
Absolutely, and thank you for coming on. You said a few things that I went over and read in your newsletter, A Christian's Responsibility in the Election Year, and you have a Pastor Tom Nelson of Denton Bible Church gives a message on the coming election entitled The Continental Divide. Is that available on YouTube, or is that from proclaimingthegospel.org?
Yes, we have a link to it in our newsletter, and that's another thing we can offer your listeners. Our newsletter is free. It goes out via email, and anybody that goes onto our website can sign up for it. They can also access the newsletter on our website, and I just encourage everyone that's listening to watch this video. It is the most powerful message I have ever heard in an election year, and our country really is in a crisis, and Christians really need to know that they have a responsibility to make a moral choice in this election. There's talk that some Christians are just going to bury their vote. They're not going to vote for either candidate. That is absolutely wrong. And I think if they listen to this message, they will be convinced that they really do need to vote and vote for the moral choice.
Absolutely.
So they can go to our website at proclaimingthegospel.org, sign up for our newsletter there, and we'll either send one out via email or they can read the newsletter on our website. But we do have a wealth of resources, and I encourage your listeners to look at our blog, to look at our different articles that we have posted in the 26 years that we have been doing this. You know, we started this ministry out of our love for Roman Catholics. Having come out of the Roman Catholic religion, my wife and I really love Catholics, and we want to see them repent and believe the one and only gospel of Christ. We were deceived as Roman Catholics because we had been indoctrinated with the fact that the Catholic Church was the one true church. Well, it can trace its history back 2,000 years, but little do Roman Catholics know that in the 3rd and 4th century, their church drifted into apostasy by putting aside the supreme authority of God's Word, and they started to follow the traditions of men. And so the Catholic Church is now in full-blown apostasy, and I say that by the authority of the Roman Catholic Council of Trent. It not only denies the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it dares to condemn anyone who believes the gospel of Christ. It condemns them with over 100 anathemas, especially in the area of justification, which is the core doctrine of the gospel. If you get justification wrong, you get the gospel wrong. And the Roman Catholic religion condemns those who believe they are justified by faith. It says that you are justified by faith plus works. And so that's the great divide. Roman Catholics have a different gospel, a different means of justification, and they are on the broad road to everlasting torment unless they repent and get on the narrow road that leads to life. And I'm not saying this to be harsh. I'm saying it out of my love for Catholics. Again, I would encourage them to believe the Word of God. Don't believe the teachings and traditions of your religion, because the teachings and traditions of the Catholic Church have nullified and opposed the gospel of Christ. And that is the work of the devil. He infiltrated the Roman Catholic religion, and they started drifting into apostasy in the 4th century. If people are listening, remember their church history. It was Constantine who looked at a fragmented Roman Empire, and he wanted Christianity to be the glue that would cement the Roman Empire back together again. And so Constantine had this vision to make the Roman Catholic, or actually it was the Christian Church at the time, the instrument that would unite the Roman Empire. And so what the Constantine did, he was named the Pontificus Maximus, which is the highest priest, and he allowed pagans to come into the church without repenting. They brought in all their pagan traditions and practices, and so this was the beginning of the Roman Catholic Church. Rather than submitting to the authority of God's Word, they started following pagan practices and traditions. And, of course, those pagan practices and traditions are still part of the Roman Catholic religion today, including the absurdity of believing that every Roman Catholic priest has the power to call the Lord Jesus Christ down from heaven and then to transubstantiate the inner substance of the wafer into his physical body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the great deception in the Catholic Church. You know, the Lord Jesus said that in the last days there would be false Christ to deceive even the elect. Well, the Eucharist is a false Christ. And I say that by the authority of Scripture, because the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews 9:28, will return a second time, not every day at the beck and call of a Roman Catholic priest. He will return a second time, and not in relation to sin. The Bible tells us when he will return. It'll be after the tribulation. The Bible tells us how he will return, the same way he left, which was in a body. And the Bible also tells us that when he returns, there will be no mistake. Every eye will see him. It'll be the most amazing event the world has ever seen when the Lord Jesus returns. So the Roman Catholic Church offers a false Christ as a victim on an altar, denying the finished work of Christ on the cross. So they believe their sacrifice of the Mass is a continuation of the work of redemption, even though the Bible tells us the Lord's work of redemption was finished. And so I challenge Roman Catholics to read the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapters 9 and 10. Those two chapters totally destroy the concept of the Roman Catholic sacrifice of the Mass. And I think if they will look at those scriptures, asking God to reveal the truth to them, that God will do that for them. But they cannot continue to worship a false Christ, because that is the most serious sin of idolatry. And again, I say that by the authority of Scripture, because when Moses went up the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments from Almighty God, the Israelites got all their gold together to form a golden calf to worship the true God that delivered them out of Egypt. We know how much God hates idolatry, because he put to death 3,000 Israelites that committed the sin of worshiping a golden calf as the true God, the serious sin of idolatry. So if there's any Roman Catholics listening to this broadcast, they need to come out of the Roman Catholic religion and not participate in the sin of idolatry any longer. The Lord seeks worshipers in spirit and in truth, and so to remain in a Catholic church knowing that is being disobedient to the God of the Bible.
Mike, if I may, just interject one thing here. We may have listeners perhaps wondering, well, man, you guys are talking smack about the Roman Catholic Church. Why? Especially when, for example, there's such heretical, I mean, is it such obviously twisted cults like Islam? You should be shedding more light on that. Well, my response to that is this. I mean, it's obvious, for example, Islam is although it's a monotheistic religion, although they acknowledge the existence of Jesus Christ, not the divinity. I understand that. We need to expose Islam, but it's the deception that's perhaps the closest to us, in my view, that perhaps can be more dangerous than I mean, we know what Islam is. We know, for example, the heresy. We know that. So, I guess I just want to caution people. The reason, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the reason we're addressing this is because you're looking at all of this as the larger mosaic here. There's a push for a single one world religion. Roman Catholicism and the Pope, the Vatican, plays an extremely critical role in this, and the deception is going to come from within the body of the Christian Church, even more and even deeper than from without. Is that an accurate statement? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but...
it really is. We know in the end times there will be a global church, and it will worship the Antichrist, and I believe the catalyst for building that global church is the Vatican. They're building bridges not only into all Protestant denominations, but also into all the religions of the world. And you've stated something very succinctly, and it comes down to this. There are only two faiths in the world, two religions, if you will. There's the religion of divine accomplishment, where salvation is offered by grace because of what Christ has done. And then there's the religion of works righteousness, human achievement, which is based on what we must do. And so every religion in the world is under the human achievement religion, under that banner. Biblical Christianity is the only one, the only true faith, because it proclaims salvation by grace because of divine accomplishment through Jesus Christ. And so we have bonds of unity between Islam and Roman Catholicism. I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of your listeners will be surprised at what I'm about to say, but Roman Catholicism has more in common with Islam than it does with biblical Christianity. So let me just clarify that. Both teach that Jesus cannot save their souls. The Roman Catholic Jesus, by his death on the cross, merely opened the gates of heaven. Now each Catholic must attain their own salvation. And that's right out of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Both religions, both Catholicism and Islam, have over 1 billion adherents, and both of them seek world dominion. Both religions have a primary way of growth that is through births. 16 million babies are baptized into the Roman Catholic religion every year. They both have a history of anti-Semitism. Now, in Roman Catholicism, they reject the New Covenant, and that's why they're anti-Semitic. Your listeners may not know that it took the Vatican 52 years to recognize Israel as a sovereign nation. And that, of course, happened in 1948 when they were born again as a nation after being wandering across the earth for hundreds of years. So they reject the New Covenant, which means that Israel is God's chosen people. The Catholic Church now declares that it has replaced Israel as God's chosen people. Now, Muslims reject the Abrahamic Covenant, and that's why they're anti-Semitic. They believe that any land that is conquered under the name of Allah must remain in the possession of Allah, And so that's why you don't have peace in the Middle East, because Islam claims they have the land because it was conquered under the name of Allah. But the Jews, of course, point to Genesis as the title deed for the land belonging to them. So they're both anti-Semitic. They both also recite repetitious prayers to escape divine punishment. They use prayer beads, and they take pilgrimages to obtain favor from God. Your listeners may be aware of the Holy Door in the Vatican right now, where Roman Catholics can walk through the door in St. Peter's and obtain a plenary indulgence. So they are also rewarded for their pilgrimages. They also have...
Can you explain what an indulgence is?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. An indulgence is the remission of temporal punishment for sin. The Roman Catholic Church repeats the lie of the devil in the Garden of Eden by declaring that there are some sins that do not cause death. You remember when Satan deceived Eve, he said, "You surely shall not die." Well, the Roman Catholic Church has what are called venial sins that don't cause death, only temporal punishment in purgatory. And so it's through indulgences, the remission of temporal punishment for sin, that Roman Catholics can escape the fires of purgatory. This was the spark of the Reformation. And so just to continue a couple of more, because I want to get to the major one, they both seek messages from apparitions of Mary. Now, a lot of people will not understand this, because the Muslim religion has their holy book called the Quran. The only woman that is mentioned in the Quran is Mary, and she's mentioned 37 times. They revere her as the most honored woman who's ever lived because of her submission to God. And that is what Islam is. It's submission. And so now we have Muslims going to apparition sites in places like Fatima, Portugal, and Medjugorje. They're all seeking messages from Mary. And, of course, we know that these apparitions of Mary are but deceptive angels that are coming in the place of Mary, giving false messages. But these apparitions are said to bring peace to all children, both Islamic people and Roman Catholics. And so it's fascinating when we see that in the end times, the Bible says lying signs and wonders will be used by the devil to deceive the world. And I really believe the apparitions of Mary are one of the most powerful deceptions that Satan will use to convince the world to come together under the papacy to form this global church. So there you have it. Islam and Roman Catholicism have so much in common. They're both into world dominion. Together they represent a third of the world's population. What a powerful force that would be if together they united under an apparition of Mary. Fascinating times in which we live.
Absolutely. And folks, we are coming up against another break. Our guest tonight is Mike Gendron. He is the website owner of ProclaimingTheGospel.org. ProclaimingTheGospel.org. Again, he has a free newsletter. You can go to his website and sign up for his free newsletter, and that is ProclaimingTheGospel.org. Mike Gendron is our guest. We'll be right back after these short messages. Stay with us on this Wednesday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report.